כל הקודש הזה. Even an amateur would notice, even a cursory examination of the halachas of Chanukah and the Mishnah Torah, that the language of the Rambam and Hilchos Chanukah is extraordinary. It's not normal. The fourth parak of Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam uncharacteristically describes the mitzvah that we're about to do, Zerv Chanukah. The mitzvah that we're going to be doing. Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, chaviva hi ad ma'od. Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, chaviva hi ad ma'od. We don't find this anywhere else in the Mishnah Torah. You don't find this by the Yom Tov. Pesach, we're celebrating because Yad Chazaka v'zor netuya, because of the great strong arm, Anivelo Malach, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Because of the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, so we have Pesach. Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem gave us the Torah. Purim, Hashem gave us the Torah, we accept the Torah. So we have Shavuos, we have Purim. Sukkis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sukkis HaShavti. So we keep Sukkis. But all of those Yom Tovim, all of the Chagim, all of the holy days on the Jewish calendar don't have a description the way Chanukah is described by the Rambam. It's a Pella. Each of the Yom Tovim that we celebrate, that we commemorate, are exactly that. It's a commemoration. It's a commemoration of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. The miracles that Hashem Yisparach did for us. Rav Wolfson, Mashkiach of Torah Vadas, Munis Yisrael in Brooklyn, so the Mashkiach explains a little difference. The Mashkiach explains that Chanukah is completely different. Because Chanukah is not commemorating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Chanukah is a time when we mark, and we remember, we relive what we did for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that the whole miracle, the whole Yontif, the whole Chag, the whole 8 days are framed and really flow from, begin with, the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. See, other Yom Tovim have aspects of Mesiras Nefesh, it's true. Nachshon ben Aminadav, v'chulei v'chulei, Esther Hamalka. But the beginning of the Nes, the beginning of the miracle takes place when Matisyahu Vanov say enough. When they lay themselves out there for Klal Yisrael, as representatives of the Jewish people, and are willing to risk everything for Kiddushas Hashem. Chanukah represents the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people, of our willingness to go all the way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person is Mesir Nefesh for something, so you love that thing so much. When a person's willing to risk something, when a person's willing to take a risk, to sacrifice, so it creates love. So mitzvah ner Chanukah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's beloved. The war that the Chashmonaim got involved in, I don't know if anybody mentioned that it happened right over here. I've probably heard that before. Over here, right outside the yeshiva. The war that the Chashmonaim involved themselves in was absolutely unwinnable. It didn't make any sense. The challenge was insurmountable. It was completely crazy that they even tried. They're outnumbered. They're against the greatest military force, the great political power, the greatest empire, the superpower. Against the Avon, they're up against overwhelming odds, incredible resistance, insurmountable opposition. The only way that they were able to stand up, to put themselves out there, Laman Kedushas Hashem, was with the willingness to be Moser Nefesh. Self-sacrifice, that was it. Mesiras Nefesh is the Alpha and Omega of Klal Yisrael. That's what makes us tick. That's who we are. I think we talked about this a couple years ago when I was here in Parshas Vayera. It's a worthwhile question. Where does this come from? Because where does this ability, where does this idea come from? That we can completely put ourselves up against insurmountable odds. That the Chashmayim were able to just stare down the entire Greek Empire and risk life and limb. L'man Kedushas Hashem, where did they get the koach from? The Bali Musar explained that it's from that penultimate moment in Mesiras Nefesh, the Super Bowl of Mesiras Nefesh. You can call it that. When Avraham Avinu took his son, his beloved son, the son that he waited for, that he cried for, that he davened for, that he was banking his entire future and legacy on, and brought him up to Har Moriah. And Avraham Avinu says to Yishmael and to Eliezer, stay here, Shvulachem Po. Stay here with the donkey. V'ani v'hanar, I am the lad, Nelcha Adko. Yitzchak and I are going to go. The art school says yonder. I don't know what yonder is. Tzorchin. V'ani v'hanar, Nelcha Adko. Tzorchin Gadol. We're going to go there. We're going to go yonder. We're going to go to a place that you can't go. Where it's just not Shaykh Yishmael for you to go. Where it's just not Shaykh for you, Eliezer, to go. Avram and Yitzchak are going to a place beyond. A place where Yishmael and Eliezer, where they don't have a Shaykhness to, they can't even relate to. The Bali Musar explained that this is a remez chafei to the 25th day of Kislev. That the Maccabees, that the Chashmonaim had the ability to be Moser Nefesh. To go up against insurmountable odds, to risk everything, to put their life on the line, because Avram and Yitzchak went ad ko, to that place, to the koach of kafei. From that moment on, it's part of our DNA, it's part of our identity. It's passed down from Avram and Yitzchak to Yaakov Avinu. It's just what we're reading about in the parshios the last couple of weeks. Yaakov Avinu, who we're all named after, faces up against Esav, again, completely insurmountable, completely untenable. The challenge is complete. It's ridiculous. It's the ultimate mismatch. Yaakov Avinu, a world of Pnimius, a world of Kedusha, of Tahara, of Talmud Torah, a man of the Oel facing up against Esav. Essentially, you know, Andre the Giant, against, you know, a pale yeshiva bacher. Can you say that? And yet Yaakov Avinu puts himself out there for the Jewish people. And everybody knows the teaching from the Shlach HaKadosh, that when Yaakov Avinu went to go get his pachim ketanim, he wasn't doing it for himself. Okay, the money is chavib for a tzaddik. A tzaddik is careful and his money is careful, whatever, because he's yashar. But that's just the pshat, that's just the beginning. Why did Yaakov Avinu have to go back and risk his life, risk his safety for those pachim ketanim? So the Shlach HaKadosh teaches, and we all know it. We've grown up with this teaching. The Yaakov Avinu, what he was, wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it so that his descendants, the Chashmonaim, would be able to have their Pach Shem, and their Pachim Ketanim against the Yevanim. And all of the actions of Yaakov Avinu in struggling against Esav, all the different details, are Bechinav Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. The Talmid of the Baal Shem Tov say Lefanav means he sent these Malachim before him, down the road. So that in the future, the descendants of Yaakov Avinu would be able to have that midah that was passed down from Avram and Yitzchak to Yaakov, all the way down to today. Lefanav means that the Chashmonaim and we have the ability to follow in Yaakov Avinu's footsteps, to be Moser Nefesh, to go up against seemingly insurmountable odds, to risk everything. What does Rashi say? V'yishlach Yaakov Malachim? What does he say? Malachim Mamish. What's a Malach? Everybody knows Nefesh HaChaim, what a Malach means. Malach is a force that's created through, but when a person does something, when a person does an action, we either create a defense attorney, or we create a prosecuting angel. Through our actions, through what we do, we create these spiritual forces. And they're very real. It's Mamish, it's real. Yaakov Avinu was creating a zechus for the future of Klal Yisrael. For his zechus for his descendants. So they would be able to stand up against insurmountable odds. Meir Premishlan explains Malachim Mamish is a remnant to the struggle of the grandson of Esav, Antiochus, against the grandson of Yaakov, the grandchildren of Yaakov, Vinu Lachashmonayim. The gezeros that Antiochus put against us, the chokehold of Hanukkah, that threatened to wipe us out, to ruin our identity, to take away who we are. We weren't allowed to have a bris mila. We weren't allowed to be Makadish Lachodesh. No moed. You weren't allowed to be Makadish Lachodesh because that represents sanctity of time. Without Rosh Chodesh, without Kiddush HaChodesh, there's no Yom Tovim. And finally, no Shabbos. Learn Torah. Do mitzvahs, do fine. Kisvu lachem akel yashor. Do what you want. Learn Torah, you want to be Jewish style and Kiddush, fine. But no bris mila, no os, no Shabbos, and no Kiddusha in time. Says Rav Meir Premishlan, Malachim Mamish is a remez to Moed, Mila, and Shabbos. And that Yaakov Avinu, by sending Malachim Mamish, was giving his descendants the ability, the koach, the strength, the confidence to stand up against the gezeros of Antiochus, like Yaakov Avinu stood up against Esau. Kisarisa im Elokim v'im Anashim v'atuchal. The essence of Yaakov Avinu is that he was a fighter, is that he struggled. V'yivaser Yaakov levado. Against Esav, against the Sarashal Esav. How did he think? Where was going through his mind? He had a shot? There was any way that he was going to be able to win that war, Al Piteva? There was any way that was going to work? But that's the Mesiras Nefesh. That's the identity of every single Jew. We're named after Yisrael. We're called Bnei Yisrael for a reason. Because Yaakov Avinu fought. Because Yaakov Avinu struggled. Because Yaakov Avinu was Moser Nefesh. Derech Agav, I was on YouTube last week. And I went to go see a video. Someone told me in shul, he said, "See, you look at the Rashid videos on YouTube." So I said, "Oh, do me a favor, I don't want to know about it." So he said, "Last year, one of the Rebbeim brought their guys to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You can see it on YouTube." So how did you... He went on YouTube and he checked in Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I don't know what he was thinking. Hey, why not, right? Everything's on there. He's probably checking out Borat, whatever, but he ended up like, whatever. But we don't know about that. He went and checked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, love deal. And before you know, whatever. So I went to go see. I was curious to see what both things were about, the truth is. But while I was there, I got on the main screen. The first thing you see is a coming attraction for the new Rocky movie. So I have to be very honest, is that during the summer, people were talking... The truth is, Rocky is the only sport that I still follow. I haven't seen new movies since in between Yom Kippur Sukkot here. And then we left during the intermission anyway and went to KFC. And watched the sporting event in the same amount of time. I just lost interest. I got busy with other things. But Rocky, I'm still holding by. And the truth is, I still, you know, on all the Tulim, it just happens to be that I have 3 and 4, and we keep watching them on the buses, and I keep following to see, you know, whatever. And other me, the Amaris Naf show. So during the summer, someone told me there's a new Rocky movie coming out, and I said, I don't want to hear it, I wasn't going to risk it. I don't want to know about it. Do we say, the Rocky is done, after 4, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Rocky 5, doesn't it? So he said, "No, Rocky 6 is coming out." I said, "You can't say that, because then you're admitting that there was a Rocky 5, and that's humiliating to think. That's what it is. It's a degrading thing. You don't want to hear about it." Sylvester wasn't Doris, and I said, "How stupid can you be? Sylvester Stallone is 60. Halavai, we should all be 60, and you know what I'm saying? Halavai should all be 29 or whatever." But I said, "I don't know about it. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd." I said, "This is like the absolute stupidity of Hollywood. This is like the greatest Muslim movie in the world. But there's another Rocky." Okay, whatever. A couple months later, it happened to be just, you know, last week. It was after the Golan Tehillah, after I had seen 3 and 4, and then switched to the other bus to see 3 when they're watching it. Whatever. I mean, really, I wanted to show them Harbantal with the Chermon, but So I came home, I'm watching this preview, and I have to tell you, it was unbelievable. Mamish unbelievable. I mean, the premise is ridiculous. Again, the premise is ridiculous in general, but specifically, it's particularly ridiculous. But he says a teaching on there which is so deep, which is so powerful, which I think can help us understand a little bit what we're talking about here. See, Rocky's not sure of himself. He's going to come back. It's not Shliyot. He's coming back against whatever, I'm going to describe it, people taping it. So whatever, you can imagine who's coming back. It's, the guy's name is Mason Dixon. Oh, come on. You make it too easy. His nickname is The Line. probably from the southern part of the line. And Rocky's facing this guy, and it's totally nonsense. It's total nonsense. It's total nonsense that he's facing this guy. And he says, I don't know, what am I doing? And you just see a few seconds. And the woman who I guess is the new Adrian says, Rocky, if this is what you want to do, then this is what you have to do. You can't run away from yourself. Fight is fight. Fight is fight. There's nothing we could do about it. It's just who we are. It's part of our DNA. And he says they're a very beautiful Torah. He says it doesn't matter how hard you hit. It doesn't matter how hard you hit. It matters how hard you can get hit, but keep moving forward. So, right? That's it. I should watch this again to make sure I get the quote down. I was like, are you watching it again? But it's true. Isn't it true? Isn't that the story of the Jewish people in a nutshell? That it doesn't matter how hard you hit. It's not about how big we are. It's about how hard we can get hit, but keep moving forward. That's the story of the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people. Of getting back in the ring, even if it doesn't make sense. Tisarita melekim v'im anashim v'atuchal. Yaakov Avinu gets his name Yisrael because he fights, because he struggles. V'ani v'hanar nelcha ad ko. Avram and Yitzchak are passing it down to Yaakov, who are passing it down to us. One thing about that Maisa that people don't remember, at least myself, I keep reminding myself, is that yes, Yaakov Avinu fought, and yes, Yaakov Avinu was victorious. But Yaakov Avinu walked away limping. That it wasn't so pasha. Yaakov Avinu walked out of the arena, he was victorious, and he was called Yisrael, but he walked away missing a piece, he walked away limping. Story of Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. So Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz was a Kaddish Elyon, he was a very holy person. He gets a little bit of a bad rap in the Shlomo story about him and the Kedushas Levi with the fish. But Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz was Mamshech Kaddish Elyon. He felt that he was the Mamshech of the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov, and with a nobility and with an intensity that other tzaddikim only looked at and were blown away by. Chanukah by Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz was a serious avoda. All the Chassidim came to the Klois, they all came to Mezhbuz. They sat in the Beis Medrash while the Rebbe prepared the wicks. And during Hadlokas Neiros, everybody sat there and watched the Rebbe light Neiros. After Hadlokas Neiros, Brachos Neiros Halalu, it was unbelievable. The intensity, the spiritual intensity is something which we probably can't imagine. But people noticed over there that on Zos Chanukah, when everything was lit, they noticed that there was one wick that seemed to be struggling. There was one flame that seemed to be struggling, a little bit dancing, a little bit looking weak. And in the middle of Haneris Halalu, while the Rebbe was in a state of dvekas, singing and crying over his tefillos, it just, the candle went out. There was no breeze, there was no window open, it was a strange thing, but whatever. Rebbe didn't even take notice, people looked at it and were a little bit, whoa. But whatever, they moved on, they keep singing Haneris Halalu. A little while later, in the course of the nigunim, in the course of the singing, the door flings open, and this just like battered yid, this beaten Jew, comes in, his face is all puffy on one side, he's bleeding out of the side of his mouth, clothing's ripped, he's soaking wet and muddy, full of freezing cold snow. He like walks in and flops down in a chair. And everybody like turns around, the Rebbe like looks, oh, what's going on? And they go to see what happened to this guy. And they try to like give him a little tea, take care of him. They said, Rabiad, what happened? So he said, oh God, you're never going to believe it. You're never going to believe what I just went through. V'chazdei Hashem, I'm here by Hadlakas Neiros. They said, what happened? They start warming up a little bit. He said, every year I come to Mezhbuz for Chanukah. Just that I should be by my Rebbe, by Rav Baruch, by the Rebbe for Hadlakas Neiros. Like everybody else. So this year I miscalculated the journey and the snow was extra deep and it took me a little while longer, so I figured that instead of taking the regular road to Mezhbuz, I would cut through the forest. Because I just couldn't imagine missing Hadlakas Neiros. And as I was going through the forest outside of Mezhbuz, which was notorious as a dangerous place with bandits, with wolves,
There's no real path there. It was pitch black. He said, I had no choice but to try to do it. While I was going on my way, I got ambushed. These thugs grabbed me off my horse. They pulled me into their little lair, and they searched me. They said, you must be this Jewish guy, must be traveling, he must have a lot of money, must be doing something very important. He must be on his way, you must be on your way to a serious business transaction. If you're risking life and limb going through the forest, in such a dangerous place, it must be that you're on your way to do it. You must be a rich person. And he said, no, I'm not, I don't have any money. I'm going to my Rebbe. I just want to be a Meshavis for Adlakas Ners, for the Chanukah lighting. And they said, yeah, right. And they schlepped him back to their lair, and they beat on him, and they're hitting him, trying to tell us where the secret stash is. Tell us where you're hiding the money. He said, it was a nightmare. They had me tied up and gagged and bound, beating me, trying to get me to get... And I told him, I don't have anything. Take whatever you want. Please, just let me get to Meshavis. I just need to get there so I can be by Adlakas Ners. But finally, the head thug, the chief villain, the head of the gang, comes in, and he interrogates me himself. And I told him the truth. I don't have any money, a few pennies on me. I'm just going to Meshavis to be by my Rebbe for Adlakas Ners. And I guess my sincerity and my tears, I guess, Dvarim Ayotzim and Alev, I guess he heard me, and he believed me in some way, because he said, you know, you don't have any money on you. It sounds crazy, but I'll make you a deal. You seem like a sincere enough guy. I think I believe you. And he said to me, take your horse, take your old stag back, take your horse, and continue on through the forest. If you really want to get to your rabbi so badly, so you can go. But we both know there's no way you're going to get there. Between the wolves and the other gangs and the freezing cold, there's no way you're going to make it through that forest alive. The guy, and I said to him, thank you, I'll do it, please. Just let me go, I want to get to my Rebbe, I want to get to the Tzaddik of Baruch. So the leader of the gang said, okay, listen, I'll make you a deal. You seem a little bit crazy, but I'm hearing you. Take my handkerchief. If you make it through the forest, I'll know that you're a man of God and that you're on a holy mission. If you make it through the forest to the end of the forest, take your handkerchief and put it on the second evergreen tree at the end of the forest that's leaning over to the left a little bit, right there. If you leave it there, I'll see it tomorrow. I'll know that you made it through alive, and I and all of my chevra, all of my guys, will come do tshuva. We'll leave our errant ways, and we'll make our way back to a life of honesty and being yasher. So everyone's looking at him like, wow, this guy's telling this crazy story. So he said, I got on my horse, and I gave it a little patch to go, but the horse wouldn't move. The howling of the wolves is pitch black. It's the end of the month. There's no moon. It's freezing cold. My horse just wouldn't respond. And I kept zetting it, and I started speaking to it. Please, please, let's go. We have to go to Rav Baruch. My horse wouldn't budge. I tried kicking it, hitting it, anything. It wouldn't go, and I said, Ribono Shalom, what do you want from me? All I want to do is go to the Rebbe. I'm willing to risk my life. Please just help me get to the Tzaddik of Baruch so I can be there for the Hisorus of Adlakas Ners. And at that moment, my horse lifted up his head and started to move. And I looked up, and in the distance, we saw a little light. And my horse was moving toward the light. That light kept moving through the forest, navigating us through the pitfalls and around the ditches and in the ravines, through the snowy hills of the forest, through the trees, until we got to the end. And I remembered the handkerchief. And I dropped the handkerchief on the end of the tree, and we followed this light. And you know, until we made it here to Meshavis. And here I am. People are going crazy. Wow! That was a nice thing, unbelievable. And you got here, mamish. And they looked up, and they saw that the flame was back on the menorah. The flame that had gone out was back there. And they continued the rest of the night singing and telling Torahs. The story is true or not, I don't know. Did it happen or not, I don't know. But for sure the message is true. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't even matter. Let's not be childish. It doesn't even matter. Because the message is true. That if a Yid is willing to be Moser Nefesh, that if a Jew is Moser Nefesh and risks life and limb for Ruchnis, for growth, for his Soros, if a Jew risks his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his Moser Nefesh, then a Kaddish Baruch who makes miracles happen. That's the story of Chanukah. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od because of the Mesiras Nefesh. The whole Nes takes place because of the willingness to be Moser Nefesh. There's no darkness that's too thick. There's no darkness, there's no klipa, there's no confusion, there's no web of entanglement, there's no yirida, there's no resistance, there's no enemy that's insurmountable, inner or outer, national or personal. The story of the Jewish people is the story of a struggle with Mesiras Nefesh, and miracles happen when we're Moser Nefesh. Sometimes we can just get so entangled and confused with all these crazy thoughts, with all these external ideas, and all these yetzaharas, and all these ideologies and isms and involvements and dual loyalties, so to speak. We can become so confused we feel like we're drowning in the water. We can't stay afloat. Yeah. What are you doing? You ask Hashem for mercy, yeah? A person can feel like their mom is drowning. In apikorsis, in kfira, in taivas, in old habits, in old friends, in preconceived notions. We could just be in such a place of like such darkness and confusion, we could feel like we're about to go under. And sometimes the waves crash over us, and sometimes we manage to gasp for air, but sometimes we feel like surrounded, like we're surrounded in a flood, in a mabul. To know that Rashi in Parshas Noach says that all the dark clouds that were raining down, all the storm waters, the mabul, the chaos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the world, all stopped on Chaf Zayin Kislev. So Rashi. Everything stopped Chaf Zayin Kislev. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says, in the Zechus of Chanukah, the mabul came to an end. All of the chaos, all the storm clouds, all the darkness, all the rain ceased. The light of Chanukah, the light of the Neros, drives away all the darkness. It drives away all the storm, all the floodwaters that threaten to drown us, chas v'shalom. Chav Zayin Kislev, everything stopped. The world had another chance. The truth is, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the dove landing with the olive branch in its mouth, that Noah saw as a future, as a sign of renewal, as a sign of hope, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ending the flood. The dove with the olive branch is a remez to the olive oil from which the nace of Chanukah was going to come from. That the whole story of the Mabul of Noah, which is the letters of Chayin, of Chanukah, is the story of Chanukah. The Mabul and the message that it represents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of chaos, of Yish, of getting to the point of saying that it's just too late. We've gone too far. It just totally has to start off. But from within that, the Ramban says, the world is totally renewed. The world takes the mikveh and we start again. The door of the hatch of the teva opens up. Noach comes out with his family and has an opportunity for his chadjus. The mabul subsides, the world is renewed, and everybody has a new chance. That's the story of Chanukah. That within the brokenness of the Beis HaMikdash, within all the shattered vessels, within the churban of the Beis HaMikdash, within the impurity of Greece, all over our holy place, so there's rededication. We get to start again. Chanukah is a bechin of hischadshus. Chanukah is hamizbeach. Chanukah sabayis means a rededication of starting again. Chanukah provides us an opportunity to start again. Just like the mabul had to wipe everything out so we could start fresh, whatever struggles, whatever falls, whatever stumbling, whatever yiridas, whatever confusion and issues that we've had up until now, tomorrow night when we're lighting those candles, tomorrow night when we're standing with a tiny little light against a whole world of darkness, if we light with Mesiras Nefesh, with passion, with fervor, with a commitment to Hashem, to a commitment to starting again, to renewing ourselves and our avodah, so then miracles will happen. So I know it's a nice idea. Whenever anybody talks about renewal, so automatically there's a cynical, automatically something kicks in our head and we start to be cynical about it, often. When we start talking about, you know, a fresh start and newness, it's chachos and renewal, So we start to think, maybe for someone else, but not for me. Maybe for someone else who, you know, all along is doing the right thing, but not for somebody like me, who's fallen so many times, who started new so many times. Not for someone like me, I don't deserve a new chance. It's a nice bark, but Lamaisa, we all know that for real, it's too late, yeah? Sometimes we have that voice in our head. That cynical, bitter voice in our head that just says we're just too burnt out already. Like we tried and we had a real movement, but like we fell flat. And we were inspired, but then we fell flat. We had a great Shabbos, a great Shalshudis, but by Sunday afternoon already it's like, whatever. I want to roll over and go back to sleep. We've all been there. We have to understand that these ideas, that this is a reality. And that the light and warmth of Chanukah can melt away even the heaviest and hardest hearts. Gemara in Tanis, many of us already, most of us, probably everyone's heard this Gemara in Tanis, about the great Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, talking about Mesiras Nefesh. About the great Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who came home on an Erev Shabbos on a Friday night, and he saw that his daughter, who's his daughter? Who's Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter? Where are you? He came home Friday night, he came home Shabbos, son-in-law's Rabbi Meir. He came home Erev Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, and he saw that his daughter was in a bad place. She looked so upset. She looked so depressed. And he said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I was lighting candles. I wasn't paying attention. I took the wrong jug off the shelf. And I lit with chometz, with vinegar, instead of lighting with oil. I used vinegar to light candles so the p'til, the wick lit, but it's not going to last. Vinegar doesn't light." So Chanina ben Dosa says to his daughter, "What are you talking about? You think that it's the fire that makes it lit? You think that it's the fuel? Mi sha'amar l'shem v'yidlok. He who instructs. He who makes the oil burn. Yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. Will make the vinegar burn. It's a miracle that oil burns, and it's a miracle that, don't worry. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make the oil burn, mi sha'amar l'shem v'yidlok. Yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. The vinegar can burn too." The Gemara relates that the entire Shabbos, the home was filled with light from the vinegar that the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa lit. Says the Chidush Ha'arim, the first Geir Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Gur, Mi sha'omer lo shemen v'yidlok, yomer lo chometz v'yidlok. The power of Chanukah is so real, it's so intense, it strikes so deep that even someone who's become embittered and cynical and turned off, even someone who's given up and is embittered about Avodas Hashem can be lit up again. Mi sha'amar l'Hashem en v'yidlok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us to light the oil candles. Yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. Well, they'll instruct that bitter person to be lit up again. Who could stand in front of the Neros Chanukah and put the wick inside the oil and strike it there and stand there and sing the Zmiros and sing the songs and not be touched? Who can light Hanukkah candles and not melt? And not get a little bit choked up? Or a little bit taken away by the moment of nostalgia, of family? There's a reason why in Maos Tzur we're singing about all the suffering that the Jewish people went through for all the Doros. What are we singing about Yitzis? It's about Paro. What are we singing about Haman? We're singing about all the generations where Jews were Moser Nefesh. Because when we're lighting those candles of Chanukah, by Amim Ha'em Azman Hazeh, we're reliving that Mesiras Nefesh. We're reliving that moment that all of the bitterness dissipates. And all of the cynicism melts away. Misha Amar L'Shemen V'Yidlok, and you're lighting those Neros, Amar L'Chometz V'Yidlok. The most bitter person can't resist the sweetness, the chayim, the kedusha of Chanukah. And the truth is that the Morei Naim from Chernobyl and the Morei Shemesh from Kolomis Kalman of Krakow say the same way. That the power of Chanukah is even greater than the Kedusha and the power of Shabbos. That usually the Shechina comes down. We know from the Gemara the Shechina doesn't come down. L'mata me'asara. It's not becoming for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down to such a low place. But on Chanukah, the Arizal says, L'chachil, a person should light at Asar Tfachim. We have a little table in my house. I made it when I was in YU. I measured it, 10 Tfachim, and lit really down low. It was a time of real chometz. We lit it really down low. Says the Ma'ari Naim of Chernobyl, that the Kedusha of Chanukah reaches Lamata Me'asara Tfachim, even the lowest places. Which is why that Shemen She'in Madlikin Ben B'Shabbos, Madlikin Ben B'Chanukah, those neshamos that Shabbos doesn't reach, Chanukah will reach. There's certain oil that you can't use for Shabbos. It's not tar enough. It's not appropriate enough. It's not covetic enough. But you can use it for Chanukah. Because Chanukah is Lamata Me'asara. Because Chanukah reaches those places that even Shabbos can't get to. See, there's certain Jews who come out of the woodworks during Chanukah. I don't know, like, all of a sudden, like, the world, people say that it's because there are other holidays at the same time, and if Chanukah was like, it's not because of them, it's not a reaction. That's a very superficial answer. I don't know, I'm not a sociologist, maybe one day a sociologist will visit, and you could ask him this question.
But in a very deep way, Chanukah is reaching Lamata Me'asara. Every single Jew is feeling the tug of Chanukah. That Pach Shemen, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol inside of every single person, that's still tar. And even those who aren't lit from Shabbos, everybody gets lit on Chanukah. Even the lowest people in the lowest places. And that's where Rabbi Nachman says, in the Kutim Aran, the Hadlakas Neiros are Bechinas Bikacholim. That lighting candles is like on the level of Hashem coming to Mivakar Chola in our own lowly state. See, it's not like on Shabbos and Yantif, and everybody saw this in Siva Shalom probably. Shabbos and Yantif, we're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Muktzah, there's Tchum, there's different halachas, a whole different level. You have to wear a certain clothing, you can't do certain things, we have to act and behave in a certain way. You have a whole different set of standards and rules and laws on Shabbos and Yantif because we're ascending to the chamber of the palace. We're ascending to the king's place. Chanukah, the king is coming down to us. Chanukah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is visiting us in our sick bed. Hey, really, Chanukah, we're supposed to be lighting Neiros in the Beis HaMikdash. Really, Chanukah, we're supposed to be lighting the menorah in the Holy Temple. And the windows of the Beis HaMikdash are narrow on the inside and wide on the outside, so that the light of the menorah can extend to the entire world. But instead, we're lighting in the Mo'adon, we're lighting in our rooms, we're lighting in the hallway of the dormitory, we're lighting in our living rooms. It's Bechinas Pikach Cholim. That a Kadosh Baruch himself, Kaviyachol, is coming down to visit us in our weakened state. Medrash Rabban Baloscha describes a mashal. Ma Adavar Dome. Melech Shahayala Ohev. There was a king who had a beloved subject. Amar lo Amelech, the king says to the subject, Teida Shaslachani Soev. I'm coming to visit you. King says to this loyal guy, this Pashtun guy who loves the king, I'm coming to visit you. Halacha above his skin, mitashal het. This guy, this subject, loyal subject, went and prepared a simple bed, menorah shel het yod, a simple lamp, v'shulchan shel het yod, the table, the bed, whatever he had, the best he could do in his house. Came in Shabbat Melech, when the king came, Voi Moshe Moshe Sviva, he came with all of his legions, he came with all of his men, he came with all of his gabayim and his shamashim. And there they had Rucham Menorah Shel Zav Lefana. He came with his largesse. He came with all his fanfare, with a great menorah, a great golden lamp, which gave off a tremendous light. Kaven Sharav, Oaz Kolakavav. When this simple subject, when this lover of the king, this loyal subject, saw the great fanfare and the great lamp that was brought over there, so it hit Vayesh, got embarrassed. He got so embarrassed, he ran back to his house, and he hid away the bed that he prepared, and he put away the shulchan, and he put away the menorah. It was all hedjot, it was all pashut stuff. It wasn't befitting the honor of a king. Amar le Amalek, the king says to him, Lo, amarti lecha shetzlechani so'ed. I didn't tell you that I was coming to visit you. He walks into his house and he sees that there's nothing prepared. He doesn't see anything. There's a place to sleep, a place to eat, nothing. It's dark. He says, what, I didn't give you enough warning? You didn't know that I was coming to visit you? Lama lo ikadli klum. How come you didn't prepare anything for me? Amar lo avo. This loving subject, this loyal citizen says to the king, Ra'iti et kol hakavod hazeh shebaimach. I saw all of the great honor that came with you. I saw all the big menorahs and all of the legions and all of your gabayim and your chariots and all of your strength and your greatness. I became embarrassed. I was humiliated. How could I? How can I put out this heavy stuff? How can I put all this stuff here? It's not befitting a king. Amar lo hamelech, the king says to this guy, Chayecha, shani posel et kol kli sheveti. Everything that I brought, I don't care about. It's meaningless to me. It's worthless to me. Because of your love for me, your commitment, your dedication, your effort, I want to use your menorah. I want to use what you prepared for me. I'm willing to put away everything that I have just to use what you prepared with love. Isn't that the story of Hanukkah? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't like that make the Beis HaMikdash happen all over again? A place where the entire world would come, would see Hashem's greatness, the world of Goyim would come and give Mizbechos and recognize Hashem Hu Elokim, with the menorah and the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and all of the Kelim and all the greatness and all the grandeur. But that's not the Metzius of where we're holding today. That's not the reality of where we're at now. The king told us he's coming to our house tomorrow night. So okay, I don't know how it still works in the dorm. When I was here, I took a chair, put it outside the door in a little menorah situation, trying to figure out how to make it doesn't fall. And we light in the hallway with a little wick. Some people use wax, some people use a little glass. I mean, I don't know how much it could, but it costs $8, $6 to buy the whole set, the whole kit and caboodle. Like if you go, you buy like the nice tin one, so it's like $11. Like, if that's not a klishal hedyot, you know what is. And even if you have a really beautiful silver menorah, in comparison to what was in the Beis HaMikdash, in comparison to what a Kodesh Baruch Hu deserves, is it really anything? The answer is yes. That's what the Medrash is telling us. That the king is just interested in seeing our commitment. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows he's coming down to be Mavakar Chola. And Kodesh Baruch Hu knows who he's dealing with. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to see the Mesiras Nefesh. Wants to see the effort. Wants to see the struggle of how hard we're trying to serve Him. How hard we're trying to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much He means to us. But in the end, it's a b'china of Bikur Cholim. In the end, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have taivas. I still have a temper. I'm still not mitukan. I'm working on myself for years and I'm still not holding in a place where I wish I could be. I need spiritual first aid constantly. I constantly need to be mechazik myself, constantly renewing myself, constantly saying, "Kim, starting again. This is what I'm going to do it now." I'm not like a chola in ruchnis. The Aderet, Avram Dov Rabinitz Tumim, who was the father-in-law of Cook. The Aderet describes. Has a beautiful Torah, a beautiful insight. And what was happening to the Jewish people after Amalek attacked us? And Klal Yisrael is in a bad place. We were weak. We were exploited. We were taken advantage of. But in Parshas Chukas, after we're attacked by Amalek, so Klal Yisrael starts to complain again. We throw in Hashem's face and say, come on. Well, what did you bring us here to this desert for? This is just crazy. We can't do it. What's the point of it all? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevyachal, becomes angered and sends these one of the wildest things in all of Chumash. It's summertime, so a lot of times people don't pay attention. But these fiery serpents, they come around to the camp and it like all and the whole place goes crazy. These fiery serpents biting people in the Machaneh. After we're attacked by Amalek, we complain, we don't deal with it well, we throw in the towel, we just can't do it. We just give up on ourselves. We complain in Kvesh. So Hashem sends fiery serpents. They're biting people, and people are literally dying left and right. And Moshe Rabbeinu calls out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, starts davening. Moshe Rabbeinu raises his hands to Hashem and says, "Enough! Please help us, what are you doing to us?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take a copper snake and put it on top of a pole. And everyone will look at that snake. Everyone will look at that fiery snake that you're putting on top of the pole. And they'll be healed. And everybody knows that Ramban, it's not in the Gemara, that it's not the snake that's healing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us that it's all coming from me. The good and the bad. The punishment and the healing balm. It's all coming from me.
Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Asei lecha seraf. Take a fiery serpent. V'simoto al neis. Put him up on top of a pole. V'haya kol anosuch roel so v'chai. Anyone who was bitten by these snakes will see it and live. Says the Aderet. This is a remez to the brachos of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. See, because the whole story of Chanukah is about people just being low and needing Hashem's help. We're wounded. We're limping like Yaakov Avinu. And we need a refuah. We need Hashem to come down and visit us in our sickened, broken, incomplete state. Asei lecha seraf is the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Make yourself a fiery serpent. The fire of the serpent is the Hadlakas Ner. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. V'simo to'al neis. Put that fiery serpent on a neis. Is the bracha of Al Hanisim. The bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. V'yomim Hem Hazman Hazeh. The second bracha. V'hayakol Anoshuch V'ro. Anybody who is bitten will see him. V'chai. She'achayanu. V'kimanu. V'yal Hazman Hazeh. Ara Yom Hazeh, and you see in the soldiers, the international symbol for medicine is the pole with the snake on it. It's a remez to Chanukah. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming down and being Mevarkech Chola in our lowly place. In a few hours, we're going to sit by our candles, prepare the candles, and say the tefillos and light them up. Do you know, do we even know what happens? Do we realize what happens when we're lighting our candles? Literally, we're lighting ourselves. Literally. A famous story. Chassidim who came to the Choza, to the Holy Seer of Lublin, everyone knows the Choza of Lublin. The Choza of Lublin had a koach to look into a person's name, into a person, and know where they were, which Gilgal they were in, to know where they're holding in the upper worlds, to know where they're at, what they need, what their tikkun is, how much time they had left. Choza was called the Choza for a reason. You know, there are a lot of great Jews who ever lived, there's only one Choza, you know? It's like the Yiddish Kaddish, like a lot of holy Jews, but there's only one Yiddish Kaddish. A lot of Jews who saw a lot of holy things and a tremendous koach. There's only one choza. So the seer of Lublin, Chassidim came to him. They came to him to Chanukah time, whatever, to be by the Rebbe. And while they were there, you know, they said, well, there's a terrible tzara happening in Klal Yisrael, the community they're from, the town they're from. There was a guy there, a real rosh, a real manuvel, a moser, a Jew, who was the total mityavei, a guy who was totally a Hellenist. It was giving up other Jews, reporting them to the authorities and having them arrested, and it was a terrible, terrible tzara Yehudim. The guy was making trouble for the Jewish people, like Shane Kamoa. So they said, we'll write this guy's name in a kvetel, we'll give him to the Choza, and the Choza will curse him out, that'll be the end of him. So they write this guy's name down in a kvetel, and give it to the Choza for blind, hand it to the Choza when he's been there, and the Choza looks at him and says, shh, wow, who's this Yid? Who's mayor kol ha'olamos? Who's this Yid who's bringing nachas ruach to the Pamali Shamala? Who's this Yid who's bringing tremendous nachas to the Kisei Akova? What a tzaddik. The Chassidim didn't know, what? So they like totally, they regroup and they're like, that backfired. What happened? The Chosa, you're having a bad day? It's like someone's using their cell phone or CD player and it's like making noise. Like what? There's too much interference. Like what's the deal? So one of the chevers said, you know, we should try again. Maybe the choza goes off. Who knows? We'll try again. The next night they come to the choza again, and they get a line and they hand them the same kvittel with the same name of that moser. And the choza takes it, looks at it, says, "Fat!" Spits on the ground. Shame Rishoyim Yirkov. Yemach Shemov Zichro. This person's plan should be foiled and uprooted, should never hurt another Jew again. Feh! And they're all looking around each other like, what? Okay, got it. Yeah, well, totally no stops. There's always one guy, probably the same guy in all the stories, who like goes and asks the Rebbe. You know, the same one, guy, you know? Listen, if it wasn't for that guy, we wouldn't have any stories. You never know what to do. It's just the story ends. It's like, okay, the Rebbe did something weird. Thank God for people like that, you know? So when people come and like ask annoying questions after Shir, like, I say, okay, I don't know, I didn't do anything so weird, but I'll answer you anyway. So the guy comes to the Choza of Lublin, and he says, Rebbe, I don't get it. Last night I came to you and you said that this guy is the greatest tzaddik, but now he comes to you the same name. He says, no, he told us two different people. He said, no, it's the same name. We told you about the same person. He's a moser. So the Choza said, last night I looked at that name and I saw that this Yid was sitting by his Neros. I saw that he was lighting Neres Chanukah. When a Yid is lighting Neres Chanukah, there's no such thing as evil. When a Jew is lighting Neres Chanukah, all of the baggage and all of the mistakes and all of the philos and all of the yiridos and all of the confusion, all of the mabul, all of the bitterness, all of the chometz, it all melts away. All of the klipa, it's all gone. It's all potl mavutl. He's lighting Chanukah candles. You know, Ramayez from Yerushalayim in the Sichas Avodas Hashem says every single Yid who's lighting the menorah is on a higher level than the Kohen Gadol lighting the Beis Hamikdash. Because you know what kind of hachanos the Kohen Gadol had to go through to light that menorah? For us, we come home from work, running here, there, phones ringing, kids are screaming for president, whatever. We light up the candles, whatever. But every single Jew who's lighting the menorah is mamash on fire. It's total dveikus. He's totally lit. He's higher than the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Chos of Lublin saw. Truth is, it's a Torah from the Zera Kodesh, from the Rapshitzer, and Parshas Hazinu, Ki Nechalim Yitayu. When a person is making a bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, which is the Nusuch of the Ari, of the Sfaradim, Chassidim, when a person is making the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, Osios Nachal, what we're expressing is a reality that we're opening a channel between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, the letters of Nun, Chet, Lamed, Nachal. We're opening up a channel, a river, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every river has two levels. There's the current, and then there's the undertow. One is going this way, the other is pulling the other way. That's the channel between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a Yid is lighting menorah in a few hours, when we're lighting our menorah, it's Nafsheinu Chikstol Hashem, Osteos Nachal, Nun Chet Lamed, Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Nafsheinu Chikstol Hashem. Our soul is thirsting, yearning for Hashem. And in response, Notzer Chesed La'alafim. HaKadosh Baruch was bringing down unbelievable chasadim, unbelievable sweetness, his orus, and the chain of the Shechina. The Gra says that when a person is lighting, there's three aspects that go into lighting a candle. There's the vessel, the kli, the ner. Right, this is the Gemara Shabbos calls the ner is the kli that's machzik, the other ingredients. There's the fuel, and there's the wick that draws the fuel up into the flame. There's the ner, which is the vessel, the ptil, which is the wick, and the shem, and the fuel, is osius nefesh, of nafsheinu chiksel Hashem. Then when a Jew is lighting candles, they're lighting themselves, we're lighting ourselves. The nefesh is illuminated. Says the Gra, when a person is lighting Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, Mekablim Or Eloki, Rezocha to a Chesed Elyon. The gates are open, all of the Chasadim are coming down. And that's why the Kava Yasha, one of the Karmonim, says that each of the first two brachos of Lahadlak Ner Chanukah and Sha'asa Nisim are each 13 words each. Kineged Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. That when a Jew is lighting candles and saying those brachos, we're Ma'orer, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And there's an intense chesed that comes down. Minimum Hashem Tov was to sit by the lights for at least half an hour. To sit there and meditate in the lights, just to be there for half an hour, to be with these lights. Because if there's something so powerful happening, so to light them and bounce, to light them and ditch and go run somewhere, doesn't make sense. And to say Vihi Noam seven times. Because there's a Kabbalah. That these are the psukim that the Chashmonaim said here in these valleys, in these hills, when they went out to fight against the Greeks. What we're doing when we're lighting Hadlakas Neres Chanukah are engaging in that same battle, that same movement. There's a few things that over the course of the next 8 days, Amir Tzashem talked to the guys in Yeshiva about and try to remind myself of every single year. Of different kavanos, of different things to keep in mind when we're lighting. First and foremost, when a Jew is lighting Chanukah menorah, we're lighting ourselves. That's number one. But when I'm lighting the ner, til, and the shemen, I'm lighting my own nefesh. Lahadlik ner Chanukah, nafsheinu, chiksel Hashem, and in response, notes a chesed la'alafim, yud gimel midas harachamim, coming down a chesed elyon. Koshut Zermagid explains that, you know, there's different ways to purify a vessel. There's a tahara through mayim and there's a tahara through esh. You know it from Hilchos Pesach. There's Hagalas Kalim, Tevilas Kalim, to purify something through water. But if it's like grilled on there, so you gotta use Libun. You gotta use fire. That's a Tahara through Esh. Says the Kodesh of Samaga, the Yom Naroim is the Tikkun through Mayim. That's the Mikveh, the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. Those are the Memsa'ah, the 40 days of Tahara through Mayim. But Chanukah is the Tahara through Esh. Anything that I might have seen, that I shouldn't have seen, whether it be in the street, on the internet, or on the highway driving, or walking down the road in town, or even more so, anytime I had Tzaras Ha'ayin, or I judged the person negatively, or I didn't give someone the benefit of the doubt, or looked down on someone, so I have an opportunity to be Matahir in my eyes, of Kedusha Seinayin, with the leaving of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, those lights can be Matahir in my eyes. That's one Kavanah. Pinchas Karitzer was a good friend, Rabbi Talmud Chaver of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Dimri Pinchas. I heard from Rav Tzvi Meyer a few years ago in Yerushalayim before Chanukah. The Pinchas Karitzer said the opportunity for tikkun, for rectification, by Hadlakas Neiros is something we don't have an opportunity throughout the rest of the year. The Lamed Vav Neiros, the 36 Neiros of Chanukah, everybody knows, correspond to and really a revelation of the 36 hidden hours of Or HaGadol L'Tzadikim, the 36 hidden souls of every single generation of you never know, of the hidden Tzadikim, of the hidden light. But the Lamed Vav Neiros, the 36 Neiros, also correspond to the 36 Mesechtos and Shas. And every single night when I'm lighting candles, I have an opportunity, we have an opportunity, to be metakin a different Mesechta. The Dugma, the first night, we're lighting Maseches Brachos. Any area of Maseches Brachos that we might have been deficient in, I don't know, Kriya Shema, Bazman, not that, whatever, you never know. It's right after Yutas Kislev, whatever, you know. Or Tevilin, or Tefillah, Kovid Rosh, Mezuzah, anything that's brought down in Brachos, with Bracha Rishona, Achrona, with benching, with davening in any way, when I'm lighting that first candle, the first Masechta, if I'm conscious of it and aware of it, I have an opportunity, we have an opportunity to be Masakeh, the Nyanim of Maseches Brachos. The second night, the same thing. The second night of the second and third Masechta, Shabbos and Erevin. Anything in Shabbos, if I didn't daven right on Shabbos, if I didn't speak right on Shabbos, if I didn't prepare properly for Shabbos, if I missed the mikveh before Shabbos, if I ever used Muktzah Chas V'Shalom, If I left Chum and everything that implies, if I didn't create an Eruv and carry within that Eruv and make a Shutvus with other people, if I went out beyond the pale of the 2000 Amah, anything that I was pogame in Kedusha Shabbos, person could be Matahir in the lighting the second and third candles. And it's like that for the rest of the Yantar. Because Chanukah represents something so lofty, so powerful. It could fix something, it could fix anything. The tikkunim that we can engage in during Hadlakas Neiros are beyond our imagination, beyond proportion. So we're lighting ourselves. We're yearning for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're being Matayar Arainayim. And we're being Mesakin the Lamed Vav Mesechtos of Shas. Personally, I think that the main Kavana, the essence of Chanukah, of why Chanukah is Chaviv Yad Ma'od, is what the Rebbe Melech, Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk, says in the opening of his Tzetel Katan. The first capital of the Tzetel of Rebbe Melech's spiritual, what he gave over to us, his instructions, his spiritual instructions for his descendants, and all of Klal Yisrael are very simple. We said the Alpha and Omega of Klal Yisrael, the DNA of the Jewish people, is our ability to be Moser Nefesh, to risk everything, to give of ourselves, to give up our lives if need be. Says Rebbe Elimelech that a person should constantly have on their mind v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that whatever we're engaging in, we should have in mind, we should envision ourselves being consumed by a flame. Ad kidei kach, we should, when a person is engaging in business, engaging in relations, in their marriage, dealing with their friends, learning Torah, or walking in the shuk. The ultimate goal for a Jew is to envision v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that I'm giving my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if that's what it takes, I'm willing to give it to Hashem. So when we're sitting in front of those Neros, and we're singing Ma'os Tzur of all the different Mesiras Nefesh that the Jewish people went through, one kavana to have is v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Is that if I have something to die for necessarily, I have something to live for. What am I willing to give up my life for? What are we living to? What are we willing to die for? It's a basic question. What are we willing to be moser nefesh for? Vani v'anar melcha ad ko. Avram and Yitzhak are mechayev us to ask that question. Yaakov Avinu, who went back with the Pachim Ketanim against Esav, who fought against the Saros of Esav, and said Malachim Mamash Lefonov, is mechayev us to ask that question. The Pisetz the Rebbe, the Ish Kodesh, on Chanukah, and Yoni Chanukah, who talks about Emunah. The whole three pages of the Ish Kodesh and Chanukah, written in 1941, is all about Emunah, and willingness to give up one's life. It's about Rabbi Akiva, who died with the Shema on his lips. His whole life was waiting to be zochah to that moment where he'd give up his life. Because when he gave up his life, because when he would have the opportunity to die on Kiddush Hashem, then retroactively we saw that he lived his whole life preparing for that moment. So we're not asked to die on Kiddush Hashem now. Chaz de Hashem, that's not the avoda, that's not the challenge of our door. In an immediate sense, in a very localized sense. That for all intents and purposes, no one's asking you and I right now to choose the sword or the cross. To either go be burned at the stake or convert to another religion, chas v'shalom. We don't have that same challenge that Matisyahu Banav had. That's not our Mesiras Nefesh right now. The Mesiras Nefesh of our generation, for all of us, is to live with an immediate recognition of the constant ideology of I am living for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am willing to give up everything for Hashem. I'm willing to not be lazy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to not look down on people for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to open up and see other people's perspectives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to die for Hashem, not everybody says they're ready to do, but to live for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To care about other people, to put other people's needs before our own. To give until it hurts. To give people the benefit of the doubt. To not judge a person by the way they look. I'm willing to jump into a bonfire if you rebon shalom. But, I don't really have time for this guy. Our Mesiras Nefesh is totally different. In a certain sense, it's as challenging. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We're standing by those lights, and we're sitting by those lights, staring at the fire. Says Rebbe Elimelech, we have to envision ourselves being consumed by fire, giving our lives al Kiddush Hashem. The Tzror Hamor asks, why is it that Chanukah is called Chanukah? It should be called Chanu Bika. The reason why it's Chanukah is Chanu B'Kafei, that we camped on the 25th day. The war took place on the 25th, and because of the military reality, we can't be chafei. So why is it called Chanukah? It says it's wrong because the military victory, the military camping, well, that's celebrating pitching tents and like everybody sharpening their swords. The real victory of the Chashmonaim, the physical victory of the Chashmonaim, came from their ability to be Moser Nefesh. Chafei is a remnant of the Chafei, Osteos of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the 25 letters. Chanu, they camped in Chaf Hei, in the 25 letters of Shema, like Rabbi Akiva. They're ready to die al Kiddush Hashem. They're ready to be Meyachet Shem Hashem with their final breaths. That's how they were able to stand down an entire Greek army. That's how the Friedrich Rebbe was able to look at the head of the KGB, the head of the Russian police in the eye, when he had a revolver pointed at his head. And he's saying, just give it up, Rabbi. And the Friedrich Rebbe said to him, what do you give it up? I'm not afraid of you. I have nothing to fear of you. You think that there's one world and many gods. Me? I know that there's two worlds, and there's only one God. I'm not afraid of you. Do whatever you want to do. You won't defeat me. Since the Chashmonaim had the secret of Shema. They had the secret of Amuna. They had the Bechina of Nelcha Akko. They were ready to be Moser Nefesh. So on Chanukah, the main question for us is, what are we willing to sacrifice for? What are we willing to go to the mats for? What are we willing to die for? And necessarily, what are we willing to live for? Because if we're ready to die for it, then we have to be ready to live for it. It's an age-old question. It's an age-old... That's what Chanukah is all about. And that's why the Rambam says it's Mitzvah Chaviva Yad Ma'od. It's getting late, so we'll just end with one thought. 46 years ago today, Erev Chanukah, 46 years ago today in Bergen-Belsen, it was also Erev Chanukah. And the SS came into the barracks on that day and engaged in a vicious selection beyond anything that the inmates, the prisoners, that the Yidden there had ever seen. And the way Yaf Eliach describes it in the Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, which I read in high school, is one of those books that we probably should be given when we're born in this world. Like, if we're given a reading list, that's one of them. The way she describes it, based on the testimony of the survivors, was that they just had never seen such viciousness. That the Nazis reared an ugliness that they hadn't even seen, even in the death camps, even in Bergen-Belsen. Beatings and whippings and shootings and killings, savageness. That by the end of the day, that by the time night fell, hundreds and hundreds of people were killed. Hundreds of Jews were slaughtered. There were Jews who were dead and Jews who were almost dead. And the bodies were mixed together in piles all around the barracks. Outside the barracks were heaps of bodies of brothers, of fathers, of children, lo'aleinu. But inside the barracks, a couple hundred Jews were hiding, gathered together, waiting for the blush of a Rebbe. Yisrael Spira, say again, lo'aleinu. Yisrael Spira, the blush of a Rebbe, was straight from the Bnei Yisachar. And had their menorah made out of a little potato peel. And inside the potato peel was a little black shoe polish for fuel. And a thread taken from the concentration camp's uniform. And they're all standing there waiting. Blush of a Rebbe, what was he going to do? A few feet away, there are piles of Jews who had killed an entire Erev Chanukah. And now they're supposed to bring light to the darkness? Now they're supposed to sing Ma'os Tzur and Aneris Halalu? Like everything's okay? The Blush of a Rebbe and all of the Jews in the barracks lit the candle. And the Blush of a Rebbe, with a broken voice, may the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, of Sheinu Chikstel Hashem, Ner Til Shem. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. He began the second bracha, Sha'asa Nisan Lavasenu Bayomim Ahem Bazman Hazeh. His voice was broken, but he finished the bracha. When it came time for the third bracha of Shachianu v'kimanu v'hiyanu l'zman hazeh, the Blushin Rebbe looked up to Shemaim and he turned around to look at the other Rabbanim there, to look at the other Tzadikim there, the other Poskim, as if to see, you know, should I say it or not say it? The Blushin Rebbe turned back around and with Kavana Atzuma called out Shachianu, the Kimanu, that you kept us alive and sustained us and helped us merit this great moment, this incredible moment. And thank the Kodesh Baruch for keeping them alive and sustaining them and lit the Neiros Chanukah. After the candle was lit, everybody started moving around. And there was a Yid there named Mr. Zamachovsky. This Zamachovsky was the head of the Bund in Warsaw. A secular Jew. A completely Hellenized Jew for all intents and purposes. But he was respectful of tradition. He was respectful. He engaged the Blush of a Rebbe. He looked at him as a wise man, as a sensitive man, as a good person. And the Zamachovsky came up to the Blush of a Rebbe and he said, "Rabbi, I mean, let's be honest. I could understand that you need to turn to religion in such a dark time, in the face of such helplessness and hopelessness, and such death and pain and suffering. I understand religion as an answer. Lahavlik ner Chanukah, I understand. Sha'asa nisim la'avoteinu, remembering the days of yore, the days of old when God sustained the Jewish people and performed the miracle. I understand that's all good and fine. But shehechi yanu, v'ki imanu, v'ki yanu l'zman hazeh, there's bodies all around us. Hundreds of people were killed today. There's still bodies writhing all around us. How did you make that bracha? How does that blessing make any sense? That you sustain us and you're keeping us alive for this? This you call sustained? This you call alive?" The Blush of a Rebbe said, "You know, the truth is, you're right. You're right, that's what I thought. And that's why I hesitated. And I turned to the other Rabbanim to see what they would say. To see that maybe they should say that Dafka this year we shouldn't say Shechianu. That it's just not Shaykh, it just doesn't make sense. But when I turned around to look at the other Rabbanim, I turned around and I saw a room full of Jews. I saw a room full of men who lost their sons, their brothers, their fathers, who themselves are barely alive. And I saw them basking in the glow of the Neir Chanukah. And I remember the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. And I saw the willingness on the face of these Jews to be Moser Nefesh the same way with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I saw their faces during Lahadlik Ner Chanukah and Sha'asa Nisan Lavoseinu. And I said, if there's a nation such as this, if there are Jews like this who are willing to give all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to die Al Kiddush Hashem in the fulfillment of this mitzvah, who after everything they've gone through, the Chol Zos, are standing here lighting Neir Chanukah, then Shechiyanu v'kiimanu v'gerol azman hazeh, that we're zochet to this level of Mesiras Nefesh." So I made the bracha. So this year, tonight, Leil Shabbos Chanukah, Toshin Samach Zayin, 46 years after that Chanukah in Bergen-Belsen, and a couple of thousand years after the Chashmonaim, and even more since Akedas Yitzchak, till Avram and Yitzchak walked Ad Ko, when we make these brachos of Nafsheinu Chiksel Hashem, and Hashem is responding with notes of Chesed La'alafim, with a Ner, Til, Neshem, and we're lighting ourselves, and we're standing there, as we see those Neros, and we make those brachos, we say Shechianu v'kiimanu v'yigyanu l'zman hazeh. Let's say it with kavana atzuma. Let's say it with great simcha that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us an opportunity to be born and raised in a generation where we have the opportunity to learn Torah in the land of Israel, to be part of a renewal, of a rebirth of the Jewish people, or a rejuvenation, and a strengthening of Klal Yisrael. There was never this much Torah in the history of the Jewish people. There was never this much learning. There was never this much light in the world. Just the sheer numbers. The amount of Torah disseminated in the world today, it never happened before like this. More than Galus Bavel. More than when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down tomorrow night, and for the next 8 nights, into our homes, into our dorm, into our hearts, let's be there, B'lev Shalem, thinking about and stating firmly, Hashem, I'm ready to be Makadosh myself to you in life, and to do whatever it takes to go all the way for you. And if we come with that willingness and that perspective, so how could you not have the greatest simcha? That our life has meaning. That Kivat Hashem is still with us. That Hashem is coming down to me, someone who's struggling in the marvel of this world in such a real way. That all the bitterness, all the chometz, and all the klipa, and all the difficulty, and all the tzara, and all the confusion, let it melt away, let it just melt away. Bask in the glow of the Shekhinah Lamata Me'asara. Just sense the Kedusha and the Simcha.